Ephesians chapter 4. If you would please, let's stand together out of reverence for the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4. We want to kind of tailgate on the message this morning about new life and resurrection. And I want to look at this thought tonight, putting on the new man. Putting on the new man. When you get saved, a new man comes to live inside. Now, unfortunately, the old man is still there. And the Bible tells us, put off the old man and put on the new man. Some of you remember the song McBride sing about putting off the old man and putting on the new. And that's, by the way, that is a daily thing. I wish it was when we got saved, we just put off the old man and it never came back again. But he's like a bad penny, keeps turning up. I started to say he was about like a certain individual, like a mother-in-law, but I wouldn't go say that. I'm not saying that. But he keeps coming back, keeps showing up. We have to deal with the old man. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says in verse 17, he said, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Let me just stop for just a second. I'm not going to belabor this, but let me just say that so much of what we deal with today starts with the mind. Remember the songs we used to sing as a kid? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. I want to tell you, boy, that is so true. The things we hear, the things we see, the things we read, boy, once they get in the mind, you can't ever get them out. And so it's so important, the things that we allow into that filter. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. And he is corrupt, is he not? That old man we fight with, he's as corrupt as he can be. Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God hath for Christ's sake forgiven you. Notice in verse 24, and put ye on the new man. I want to speak on that thought tonight, putting on the new man. Heavenly Father, help us tonight as we look at this passage of Scripture. Lord, there's some great insights in this passage. Lord, I pray that we would adhere to those, Lord, in the passages we'll read tonight. Lord, it is a daily struggle that we deal with the old man. And he is corrupt, he is vile, he is wicked. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be in a habit of every day, as Paul said, dying to self and putting off that old man. And Lord, putting on the new man. Lord, the new man is full of that resurrection power we talked about this morning. And Lord, we need that power in this day. And Lord, we ask you for it this evening as we look in your word. Lord, help us to put on the new man, have these new characteristics that are mentioned with the new man as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to look at four or five things this evening. Some new characteristics of the new man. Notice, first of all, in this passage of Scripture, we have a new man, and the new man has a new design. A new man has a new design. Notice, if you would, please, again, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man has a new design. He's a new creature. We'll read there about that in just a minute. But he has a new design. He has a new makeup. He has a new layout. Notice in verse 24, that you put, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, understand, when Adam and Eve were created, they were created without sin, and did not know any sin, but they were not created in true holiness and righteousness. They were created perfect. They were created without sin, but that's not the new man. The new man, according to verse 24, is created in righteousness. That's God's righteousness and true wholeness. We're not created like the old man. So number one, there's a new man, and he has a new design. He has a new makeup. He has a new aspect about him. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. He said, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We became a new creature. We became a believer. We were born with the righteousness of God in us. Now, before we got saved, we had no righteousness in us. And by the way, we didn't even desire righteousness for the most part. We might desire to be a good person. We may have desired to be a model citizen. We may have desired to be an honorable individual. But there was no righteousness inside of us. And when we get saved, God imputes the righteousness of God into us. We do not have that on our own. We do not seek to be, the Bible tells us that there are none that seek after righteousness. There's none that seeketh after God. But when we got saved, a new man came to live inside of you. And that new man, if you will, has a new nature. He has a new design, a new makeup. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him." What's that new man like? It's just like the image of our Heavenly Father. Well, it's a great day when we reflect perfectly the image of our Heavenly Father. Thankfully, there's days when we show resemblances unto Him. And you see children, and someone came this morning, a visitor, looked at Marky and looked at Nick and Sam and said, "Are these your sons?" And Marky said, "Yes, they are." Then she took a second look at Nick and said, "I know that one's your son. He looks just like you. And we're just praying he don't act like him." Amen. But he said, "It looks just like you. He's a resemblance of his father." How much are we a resemblance of our father? Do we resemble him in the things we say, the things that we adhere to? So number one, there's a new man. He has a new design. Number two, very quickly, not only is there a new man, but number two, there's a new ministry. That new ministry comes with a new disposition. So a new man comes with a new design, a whole new makeup, a whole new outlook, a whole new design. Then there's a new ministry that comes with a new disposition. Turn, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll look a lot in 2 Corinthians, but turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would, please, and notice one passage of Scripture there. Not only is there a new man who has a new design, a new makeup, but there's also a new ministry. Once we're saved, there's a new man inside of us, and we put on that new man, and we're going to read some more in Ephesians chapter 4 just a moment. The passage we read from just a minute ago. But not only is there a new man who has a new design, number two, there's a new ministry, and that brings a new disposition. Notice 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, and notice verse 6. "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." Now God has made us able ministers of the New Testament. So we are made ministers. We have a new ministry. We have a new disposition. Notice he said in the end of that verse, "But the Spirit giveth life." Our ministry is to give life to the body of Christ. Notice what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 verse 9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Of God. James 3 verse 18. "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Understand, we have a new ministry, and that ministry brings about a new disposition. Does your life bring, does your attitude and your outlook, your disposition, does it bring forth life or does it bring forth death? There are some people that light up a room when they come in. There are some people that brighten up a room when they leave. What kind of disposition do you have? Our ministry is our disposition. Notice what the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, our text. He said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers." Understand that in a new nature, in a new man, there's a new design. Inside that new man is a new ministry. And that ministry is a new disposition. He said, "Our speech ought to be that it edifies one to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers." Well, the things we say, he talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 31, he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Maybe he should say, let all speaking and posting in our day. But let everything we say, let everything we write, let everything we communicate, whatever way you communicate it, let it be not let it be evil speaking, but let it be kind and tenderhearted and edifying one to another. Notice what the Bible said again in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. He said, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another. Notice the next two words, without grudging. Well, we can do a lot, but do we do it without grudging? We grumble and gripe and complain and so-and-so's not doing as much as I'm doing, and so-and-so's not doing anything at all, and they're not doing their part, and I wish we didn't have to do this. How much do we minister one another without grumbling, without grudging? He goes on to say in verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, that's the gift of grace, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And again, he uses that word minister in there. So we have a new man, has a new design. We have a new ministry, and that ministry has a new disposition. But when we get saved and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and the Bible tells us that the Spirit gives life. And if the Spirit is giving life, then your face ought to know it. There ought to be a smile on your face every once in a while. There ought to be a happy disposition. There ought to be a joyfulness and a cheerfulness that comes from a child of God. And no wonder so many folks outside the church don't want what we have inside the church. Because the church members are grumbling and griping and complaining and bickering and bellyaching and always begrudging one another. Can I say to you, when the new man comes inside, when you put on that new man has a new design. He has a new makeup. Then that new ministry has a new disposition. We're not a grouch anymore. We're saved by the grace of God. We've got a smile on our face, and we're ministering grace to the ears. Now, number three, very quickly, there's a new mission. So there's a new man. That's our design. Then there's a new ministry. That's our disposition. Then there's a new mission. That's our desire. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Then he said in verse 20, and he has given to us the now then we are ambassadors with Christ. We have a new mission. We have a new responsibility in life. So there's a new mission in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 1, he said, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. So we have a new man. That means he got a new design. He's a new makeup. There's not the same old elements that there were anymore. Then we have a new ministry. That ministry has a new disposition. It has cheerfulness and love and fervent love, he said in 1 Peter. Fervent love one to another. Fervent charity one with another. So that new ministry is an extension of the grace of God. By the way, it's not hard to minister grace when you understand what grace has been ministered to you. Well, if we ever get it, sometimes we lose it. I think the longer we're saved and the more comfortable we come with church and the more used to we come to the Bible and spiritual things, the more complacent we become. And we forget the amount of grace that God administered to us. It's only by God's grace that any of us are here. Only by God's grace. And that new grace comes with a new disposition. If we understand the mercy that God has extended to us, we will not have a problem extending mercy to others. But let's be honest about it. Even in our day in Christianity in America, we have a hard time being merciful. We know how to be short, and we know how to be cutting. Remember the illustration that, and I still, it's hard to fathom, hard to wrap around my mind that David Gibbs got away with this. He gave the illustration at the men's retreat about the lady. He asked for an exit row seat. And the lady said to him, well, sir, you can stand to lose some weight. And he said, you can stand to be prettier or something to that effect. Boy, sometimes we don't minister grace very much, do we? Man, we can be short and we can be cutting. And may I say to you, when a new man moves in, there's a new design, there's a new makeup, there's a new ministry, that's a new disposition. Then number three, there's a new mission, and that mission has a new desire. When your mission changes, then your wants change and your desires change. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. We're representing a new team. We're representing a new Savior. We're not ambassadors of the world anymore. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that before we were saved, we were children of the devil. We were children of darkness. And he said, no, as a matter of fact, in this passage, he says, no, walk no more like the children of darkness, but walk in light. And so understand that there's a new mission. And with that new mission comes a new desire, new ambitions, new goals. Sometimes you wonder if folks got saved or not because their desires never change. Can I say to you, when a person gets saved by the grace of God, they ought to want to. When a person gets saved, they want to be in the house of God. They want to be around God's people. They want to hear God's word preached. They want to sing. They want to give joyful. They might not be able to sing very well. They may be like some of us and can't carry a tune in a 5-gallon bucket. But they want to sing. There's a song in the heart. They may tear it up getting out of the voice box, but it's in there. I mean, there's a song that they want to sing. There's a new desire. They have a new desire for souls, new desire for people. See them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. When there's a new mission, when the new man moves in, there's a new mission. His outlook is different. His desires are different. He don't have the same goals he had anymore. He don't have the same ambition he had anymore. When the new man moves inside, there's a new mission. And when a man gets on a mission, boy, nothing can stop him. I mean, he's got desires, he's got goals, he's got ambition. There's a new thing to aim for. And Paul said, putting all those things behind me, he said, I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You are what Paul's saying. Paul said, I'm putting everything else behind me that I may win Christ. Nothing else matters. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if in our heart and our life that we started understanding that we've got a new mission. That mission means a new desire, a new ambition, a new goal, and nothing else in life matters. Boy, we put such a premium on such foolish things. I got to bring my bank account up. I got to have a better home or a better car. Got to have a better position in the community. I've got to have a better job. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to better yourself and improve what God has given you and to make the best of it. I'm not against that. But I'm just simply saying we desire too many things outside of desiring Jesus Christ. Let's just be honest. Revival's coming up in a couple weeks. When's the last time that when revival came? And by the way, can I just remind you again that no preacher brings a revival? We didn't have any, that I know of, didn't have any saved last week in the revival, but I want to tell you just about every service, the altar was full. Brother Scott said to me on Thursday night, he said, Brother Keith, he said, man, it's been a great revival. He said, I think the difference, he said, I think this time our people wanted revival. That reminds me that a preacher does not bring revival. A sermon is not going to make the difference. I tell you what's going to make the difference. You and I deciding that we want revival more than anything else. We want more ball games. We want more than overtime. We want more than a hunting trip. We want more than what's on TV. We want more than anything. When we decide that we want to know Him and we want a relationship with Him and we want to win Christ and we desire that more than anything else, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get it. But until then, we'll never have revival. We'll never have a working of God's power unless we want it. So with that new man comes a new design. With a new ministry comes a new disposition. With a new mission comes a new desire. A new desire, some new goals. Notice number four very quickly. Not only with a new mission comes a new desire, but notice number four, with a new there's a new master. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. He said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. There's a new master. Oh, a high priest over the house of God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. In chapter 10, verse 21, he said we have a new high priest over the house of God. Then in chapter 12 and verse 23, he said to God, the judge of all, we have a new master. When we get saved, there's a new man. That's a new design. We get a whole new makeup. Then there's a new ministry that changes our disposition. We minister grace instead of guilt. We minister kindness instead of grumpiness. We minister things that bring life and not things that bring death. Then there's a new mission that controls our desires. Then there's a new master that controls our direction. That controls our direction. When there's a new master at the helm, that changes our direction where we're going in life. The master changes where we're going to go and what we're going to do. May I say to you, do you have a new master? You say, preacher, I'm saved, I'm born again. I'm asking you, is he the Lord of your life? Now, what someone said, he's either Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Is the new master sitting on the throne? Is the new master in charge? Or have we exercised veto power in our life? Oftentimes, that's what we do. The Holy Spirit guides and he gives us direction and he leads us, but sad to say, oftentimes we exercise veto power. We say, Lord, I'm not going there. The Holy Spirit speaks and says, speak to this individual, and says, Lord, I'm not going to witness to them. The Holy Spirit says, go to this person and ask forgiveness and make things right. And the flesh says, I'm too proud. I'm not asking their forgiveness. I don't want to get that thing right. The Holy Spirit may say to someone, go to someone and encourage them or maybe give them something that might be a blessing or serve them in some way and be a blessing to them. And the flesh says they don't deserve it. I deserve it more than they do. They don't deserve that gift. They don't deserve that blessing. They don't deserve my goodness to them. No flesh says veto power. And I say to you, when Christ comes in, there's a new master. How often do we listen to him? How often do we shove him to the back and disregard his wooing and disregard what he wants for our life? There's a new master. That master gives a new direction in life. Not only do we see a new master, but don't you notice the next thing that we see in this passage of Scripture, or in this idea of a new putting on the new man, there's a new master. And then don't you notice number five, very quickly, the last thing, there's a new motivation. Boy, I like this. There's a new motivation. Notice what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 13. He said, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I don't have time to connect all the dots, but if you notice how many times we've used the word righteousness tonight, righteousness. There's a new man. He's made in righteousness. There's a new ministry. It's bathed in righteousness. There's a new motivation. There's a new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That new motivation brings a destination. New motivation brings a destination. There's something about understanding what's on the other side that motivates us a little bit better. Sometimes we don't have a lot of motivation to go somewhere until we understand what's waiting for us. Do we understand what's waiting for us on the other side? Now, this morning I was thinking about Sister Morgan. Talked to David for a few minutes after service this morning and just talked to him about how things were going. And he said, preacher, it's been hard. He said, but there's going to be a resurrection day one day, isn't there? I said, David, there is. You know, he's got new motivation. I don't want this to sound carnal, but there's a song that says, I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. Let's just go ahead and stop and say, I think we understand that Jesus is the only motivation we'll ever need. But I do understand the words of the song. When we lose loved ones, there's some waiting on the other side and some we can't wait to see. I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. I want to tell you, there's a new motivation in life. There's a new motivation. There's a destination that we're going to. May I say to you, when the new man moves in, when Jesus Christ moves inside of us, there's a new man. There's a new design. It's a complete new makeup. The things that made us up, that used to make us up, don't make us up anymore. New design. That's a new man. Then there's a new ministry. It changes our disposition. That ministry changed. We're to minister grace unto the hearers. We're to edify, use that ministry to edify and build up the body of Christ, not tear it down, not to bring division, not to bring strife, but to build up the body of Christ. There's a new mission. That's our change. That changes our desires. When our mission is different, our desires are different. Our goals are different. Our priorities are different when our mission is different. Then there's a new master. That's a new direction. But when the master takes over, He changes where we go and what we do and what we think and what we desire and what we enjoy. There's a new master. And then finally, there's a new motivation. All those things are things that the things that come with the new man. That new motivation has a destination. That destination is a place wherein dwelleth righteousness. You ever been in a place where you just felt dirty? I won't go into all the details. When my wife and I flew out to California back a couple months ago to be with Jack, we were on the plane. I think I told this in the men's meeting, and we're on the plane going to California. I'd been up since early that morning, about 3 o'clock that morning. It was 6 o'clock that night before our plane left to fly out to California. So it was going to be a long night. We would get there about 11. I think we know we were going to get there, I think, about 9 o'clock their time, which is going to be about 11 o'clock our time. And then we had to drive an hour to get where we were going. So I needed a nap. And I don't know, my wife cannot sleep on a plane. She just can't do it. I've got no problem. I lay my head back. I'm out like a light. And sure enough, I got on the plane that night and laid back, and we got up in the air and got to that cruising altitude. And man, I laid back. I was out like a light. We were sitting across the aisle from each other, and both had aisle seat across the aisle from each other. When I woke up, I don't know, probably some 2 or some hours later, I woke up and was, you know, kind of half awake, half not awake, and I kind of looked over, and I looked at my wife, and she had that look on her face. And I said, that ain't good. And I said, honey, what's wrong? And she just did her head like that. And on the other side, there was the plane had 3 seats on each side. And I looked on the other side of the aisle, and I just kind of leaned up a little bit, and I saw a man and woman on the other side sitting beside her. And I didn't find anything really unusual because I didn't know the people. So I just kind of looked back, and I said, what is it? She said, I'll tell you later. I said, okay. So we got off the plane. We get to the inside of the terminal. We're getting ready to go to our baggage. And I said, honey, what's wrong? She said, and this was that quote. She said, I need a bath. I said, okay. I still didn't clue me in on anything. She said, did you see the couple sitting beside me? Well, when I leaned up, I did see them. They looked like a couple teenagers. And they were kissing, and he had his hands all over. And I said, well, I saw him. I didn't. What are you talking about? He said, she said, Keith, he's 27 years of age. He's single. She's 32, married with a 10-year-old son. They met on the plane when we took off. She said, I need a bath. You ever just been in a place that, I mean, by the time you left, it just, you felt spiritually like you, and spiritually you needed a bath? Well, I want to tell you, we're going to a place, some of you, I know you have, I know some of you have because you've been in Washington, D.C. in the Congress and Senate, so I know you've been in a place like that. That's how you feel when you come out of there, I can assure you. We're going to a place where dwelleth righteousness. Not an evil thought, not an evil deed, not an unkind word, not a thought or an incident without purity, without righteousness. There's a new motivation. It's a place, can I put it this way, that is sparkling clean. Now, those of you who know my wife know very much, you know her. She's a clean freak. She's a little OCD when it comes to being clean. We had to clean that house before we left. I said, honey, nobody's going to be here. We're leaving. Doesn't matter. That house got to be spotless clean. That's just the way she is. We got ready to leave on Friday, and we stayed in Brother Scott's home, and we got up that morning. We washed the sheets and washed all the tiles and everything, and we cleaned up the room, took out the trash. My wife said to Brother Scott, I need a broom. And had hardwood floors, and he said, I'm not giving you one. And she said, I need a broom to clean the room. She said, I'm not giving you one. He said, I just want to set here. He said, I want you to finally leave a room and not clean up after you leave it. And I'm thinking to myself, yes, Lord, yes. But you know, everything is clean. I want to tell you, we're going to a place that is sparkling clean. No more sin. No more wickedness. No more evil. The new man has a new motivation. He has a new destination. Let me ask you the question this evening. How often do you put on the new man? Has it been a while since you put him on? Has it been a while since we put off the old man? Paul said, I die daily. Every day we ought to put off the old man and put on the new man. That gives us a new mission. That gives us a new ministry. That gives us a new master. And that gives us a new motivation. Putting on the new man.